Hello.
How's it going?
We are recording.
This is our first official episode on video, which, thanks, Daniela, for being like our, I don't want to call you a guinea pig because that's like an animal, but thanks for being that for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. And then like, thanks Britt for booking this guest. Somebody that you've worked with a lot. And we just realized, well, I knew, but I'm glad we made the connection that like, you know, I worked like, with you
wait,
as well.
Did we? I love that. I love that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a small world. I mean, like it is, it just is what it is, right?
Yeah. It's such a small world. Yeah. No, and it's fantastic to have you here, Daniela. Thank you again.
Absolutely.
Very excited to be recording video this time around and to have more of that personal connection. And you are rocking the most fantastic glasses. We've already talked
Thank
about
you.
This, but need to highlight that again because they're my favorite. And yeah, this
Thank
is
you.
The joy of being on video, right? You can see like all the fun characteristics and personalities of the guests that we have. And yeah, so anywho, we should probably... Before we get totally distracted, because I can talk about glasses and all of that for hours, but Jackie, do you want to go ahead and read a quick intro and introduce Daniela and talk about her background a bit?
I would love to. So Daniela is a bilingual investigative producer for Gray Television, Investigate TV. She has a great interest in human trafficking and healthcare stories. Since her time there, she's covered abuse in nursing homes, bad doctors, and societal issues. All really important stuff. I love that you care about telling those stories.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. She's also started her own franchise within the team called Cuidando Su Billetera, which translates roughly to watching your wallet. It's really great. Spanish-speaking segment for personal finance, which is super important as well. Before joining Investigate TV, Daniela interned for 3 summers at WTVJ in South Florida, which is an NBC station. And she worked with their digital duopoly team, which I do have a question. What is duopoly? What does that mean?
Yeah, so duopoly is when there's an NBC and a Telemundo station that work under the same like
umbrella.
Building. Yeah.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
Did
so
you,
they
and you
share
got to work
sort
with
of
both?
Like the same resources. So they'll do like news and... like marketing, but there are certain things that are like slightly different.
Cool. That's awesome. One final thing about you, you already know this, but for the listeners, you've got a bachelor's and master's in journalism with Indiana University, and that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it was, I never planned it that way. It just worked out.
That's great. Well, thanks for being here with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you so much, Daniela. I've always enjoyed working with you and Rachel DePompa. Shout out to Rachel, by the way. You both are on my list of favorite reporters to work with. I don't know if you're supposed to have a list like that, but I do.
I think that's cool.
Yeah. This is our first time speaking to each other outside of email, so I'm so jazzed to have you here. And thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here on the pod.
Of course. I'm super honored. I mean, like you mentioned, we've only communicated over email, but I feel like we have a relationship. Like, I know you. I know that I can count on you. I know that you can count on me. If there's things going on, like stories or topics, like that makes me happy. And Jacqueline, just realizing that we work together was also awesome. I'm like, what a small world. I love it. That makes me so happy. Especially seeing women in the business, supporting other women and just trying to push and achieve things. Like, I'm a huge fan of that. So,
wow.
All smiles here. Seriously, it's always like opening up, I don't even know, like a comfortable, like, blanket when I open your emails. Does that sound weird? I'm always like, no, this is going to be like the sweetest, most personable email I've received in a very long time from a journalist. So thank you. It makes our day.
I love your emails. They make me happy. I'm like, oh, they're so sweet.
I can't take all the credit too. I work alongside my client to come up with a lot of those topics, and he is a joy to work with. And that like just translates, I think, to the working relationship that we have too. Yeah, so, and it's really fun to have brainstormed with you too as well. We could talk about that probably again sometime because that's another thing that I think we do really nicely is just brainstorm different topics. Sometimes I'll share ideas that my client has and you'll be like, oh, we're doing this segment on X, or like, how about this? And I think that work in relationship is really nice. And honestly, it can be rare sometimes. But we have you on today to discuss a pitch, actually, that I wasn't involved with. It's one that you shared with us in advance. And we don't always get to do that either, so I'm very excited to dive into that pitch. It's going to be published on in the show notes too. Thank you to you for asking for permission, Sawyer's permission. We'll get to that soon. But it's always so awesome for our listeners to be able to go to the show notes and to be able to see the pitch. So thanks so much for sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
Goes a long way. But so speaking of the pitch, we are talking about one that you received from Sawyer Van Horn. He is a communication specialist at Kaspersky. It's a cybersecurity company. And to give you a very brief overview of the pitch, because we'll be getting into the nitty-gritty details soon, listeners, Sawyer shares tips that Kaspersky published on their blog, the Kaspersky Daily, I believe it's called. And it's about how car makers collect and then resell information to insurance companies and marketing companies. So important and surprising information. But breaking down the pitch, first, starting with the subject line, which is simply how automakers collect and resell information. Did that catch your eye, Daniela? Like, tell me more about, you know, you're seeing the email and seeing the subject line. Did that catch your eye, or have you worked with Sawyer before previously? That could be another thing too that made you open the email. Or maybe you open all of your emails. Now I'm blabbering. I'll let you speak.
Sure. So I do have a working relationship with Sawyer, but what caught my attention is I didn't know that auto companies can sell your information. I always thought that you had that privacy where you were able not, you know, they collect some information, obviously. And we know in the day and world we live in, everyone's collecting some sort of information, but I didn't know to what degree. And so that headline, I was like, excuse me, they do what now? And so like my investigative hat just like tuned in and I was like, I need to know more why this is happening. Why do they get away to do this? And so because of my relationship with Sawyer and him knowing like sort of the stories I'm interested in working with him in the past, he sort of like just knew that this would have been of interest for me, which is even better. Like I always look forward to his emails because I don't get them often. But when I do, I know it's something that I'm going to be interested in. I don't know how he's figured that out, but I love it.
That's great. So,
yeah. And so like that headline was, and I do check all my emails, like every single one. I can't see that number up at the top. So I do check my emails, but that subject line just grabbed me. I flagged it. I said, okay, right now I can't read it, but like as soon as I get a second, I will. And I was like, I instantly emailed him back. I said, this is incredible. Thank you for sending this over. And so that's how we build that relationship. You want me to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a big question we always love to ask. There's a lot of hot topics who are really like strong opinions on that whole relationship aspect between a journalist and PRs. So please, by all means, speak to that.
Yeah. Sure. So it's so funny because it's a small world and you really never know when you're going to run into someone that's actually going to be, you're going to build this relationship with, especially in PR. Like I get a bunch of emails, I get a bunch of pitches, but it's very, I would say like oftentimes I don't build a relationship with a person. Like I might hear from them once and then never hear from them again. And in this situation with Sawyer, that's not the case. Like, so funny, we had done a story back like 2 years ago. I was looking for some sort of study on gaming threats. There was this peak of like children playing video games and them being dangerous and information being collected. And I had seen Kaspersky had done a study. So I said, okay, let me reach out. And Sawyer was my person. And, you know, I said, okay, I spoke with him. I think we spoke on the phone for the very first time. very laid back person, super cool, really knew what I needed. I was like, hey, he sent me reports. He was very helpful. He was like, hey, if you have any other questions, like, let me know. I can like set you up with an expert. And he did. And one of the things that I have really enjoyed about that relationship is that the first time I actually did an interview with one of the experts he recommended, he sat in on that interview, muted himself, hid his camera, but was still present. And once that interview finished, he was like, thank you, Daniela, for your time. I really appreciate it. I'm about to send you any links or reports that I think are important. That's how you build that relationship, right? Like, I know not everyone has the time to sit in, especially on an interview, but just being able to do that the very first time, like that to me was like, I've never had anybody do that, like sit in on an interview. And at first I was a little weirded out. I was like, oh, are they going to like interrupt during this interview? Or, you know, there's some PR people who like talk about this. And he didn't do that. He was just like, I'm in the back. I'm not going to bother you at all. And I think him being there really showed me like, I care about the relationship we are building. I care about the stuff that we do here and I want to share it with you. And any opportunity that you have to share it, I'm going to make use of it. And so that relationship with Sawyer has like built. It hasn't been very long, but I know that once I get that email from him, it's going to be something important. So after this pitch, like, of course, I was like, we need to work on a story about this. Let me see what he sent. And we're actually releasing an investigation in the next coming months. I'm not going to give a date yet, but it's coming. But we didn't know to what degree auto manufacturers are collecting information. And depending on the type of car that you have, they collect different types of things, which is, yeah, they'll collect like medical information. They'll collect location, audio recordings, who you call, who you text.
Oh, my goodness.
They collect so much information and you don't know, right?
Medical
and you don't know who they're selling it to, what? Which is the other part where you're like, who has it? Who gets even some of the car manufacturers, law enforcement can actually ask for that information. If
what?
They go
what?
To the, like, yes, if they go to a car manufacturer and is like, hey, I want information about this person. Can you give it to me? They have the right to collect that information.
That's so scary.
It is scary. And so that pitch
makes me
like,
happy
oh.
to have an ancient car.
Yes, yes.
I'm gonna buy a car now. I feel weird about that.
And if you plug your phone, which I have, which now I'm doomed because they have all types of information from me because I have two phones.
Oh no.
If you connect your phone like CarPlay or Apple Music or anything like that, information is being pulled and you don't even know.
Yeah. So I guess when I rent a car and I connect to the,
Yeah. Good point. Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah. That's, this is a topic that I could go into the weeds on. So I'm trying to keep, my jaw is just like on the floor right now. But going back to the pitch, and I'm trying not to get distracted by those scary thoughts right now. So it's really hard for me. But going back to the pitch, and also the first time you worked with Sawyer, you mentioned him sitting in on the interview with the expert. One quick question about the expert. Was this somebody that like is a ambassador for Kaspersky? Are they an actual like in-house expert or did they pull in some external expert?
No, they're in-house. Cool. They're a cybersecurity expert and he finds people depending on their skills, whether they written the report or is someone who has enough knowledge that can talk about literally any topic. Oftentimes it's the same person because he's like awesome. And I'm like, I would love to bring him back. Like I always say that I would love to have him again. Just so he knows that like, that's just someone that I trust, someone that is really good on camera. It's also someone that gives me information that is simple to understand. Like one of the things about like the sort of segments we do, but our investigations is that sometimes it's complicated, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's not an easy topic. And so when you have someone who can explain it in plain terms, regular people who don't know nothing can understand, that's like a win for us.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Cool. Yes.
It's really cool.
So going back to the expert interview too, we have had people journalists tell us that they don't like reporters, I mean, sorry, PR people to sit in on the interviews. So it's always fun to me when we hear differing opinions on that topic. I needed to hear that, I think, because we've heard yeah. so many times that journalists don't really care for that. I do think it might be the industry that they play in. That might factor into it. But yeah, thank you for that reminder, because I literally just set an interview up earlier and my client, you know, had it. There's always that anxiety that I get that's like, oh my right. gosh, did something go wrong? I haven't heard yep. anything. Yeah. And then my client asked me for the journalist's email to then send them those follow-up resources. And my brain is like, oh my gosh, this is a missed opportunity. I could have sat in on yep. that interview. I could have built that relationship with that journalist. And I could have been the person to send those resources their way. Yeah. So I'm really glad you brought that up. This is a topic that we didn't even have planned. So that's really yeah. cool.
Well, I also think, like, as a journalist, we need to do better. I think there's... As we know, there's this, like, journalism and PR enemies, and they don't get along, and we don't respect what you do, and we don't respect what you do. And it's, like, this side always battling, but I think we don't need to do that, right?
Yeah.
When you have, like, when you build strong relationships with people in the industry, whether doing PR or being journalists, like, that relationship does have impact, and it does help. And so mm-hmm. instead of, like, sitting there and being like, well, they just don't get it, they do get it. And I think it's a reminder, what you just mentioned, Britt. It's a reminder to us as journalists also to allow PR people to do their job and allow them to do it well. And if that means allowing them to sit in an interview, even if they don't speak, just taking everything in, that helps. It helps to know what type of questions I ask. It helps to know what sort of angle. Am I a 30-minute type of girl? Am I a 15-minute type of interview? That allows you to know, okay, here's the flexibility, or, hey, here's some extra resources. If I would have just sat in that interview and knew, I could have just immediately after this interview send you those resources rather than having to go back and forth in email. So I think for us as well as journalists, we need to be inviting on PR people who are interested in being a resource rather than being like, I'm just here to make sure you don't say anything that's wrong.
Yeah, totally.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's kind of like being, it's kind of reframing it as, sometimes I feel like when I don't sit in on the interviews, I have mixed feelings. I'm like, maybe I feel more like a digital virtual assistant, I guess you could say, or like a coordinator. And this makes me feel more involved. Also, again, like you said, gives me some ideas on what questions they're asking on the topic, and building that relationship component, another plus. Long story short, I'm going to be on that next interview that we have together. And my clients will be surprised because I typically don't do that. So,
and I think it's okay. Like, everyone has their own style. You know, and once you understand how people operate and the things that they care about, even for you to come up with, like, pitches, like when you're in a meeting and you see, oh, this is the type of stuff that we do, or we spark up a conversation that wasn't even part of the interview and it just happened, like, that gives you an idea. Oh, they're also interested in this. I would have never known that they're interested in this. Maybe I'll send them a pitch that comes along the way that has to do with that. It's so funny because, again, back to Rachel. Rachel and I were talking about you today, and she was like,
hey, she was like, that's cool.
She said, I'm such a fan of you guys.
Because we need to bring back Robert, because we need to have him for another segment about student loans and how there's, like, schools are waiting because it's taking so long for FAFSA to be approved on. And so that is, I'm like, oh, don't you worry. I'm talking to her later. I'll mention
okay.
it.
Okay. Maybe your ears were ringing because we were talking about that yesterday. He was like, yeah, not to get into the weeds, but Robert is very passionate on that topic. So yes, we'll talk later.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Dude, Britt, you're doing your job.
Like, hey, no. Like, seriously, kudos to the entire team, because it takes a team, right? It takes knowing what everybody is able to speak to, what experts you have, and what topics are resonating with your viewers. You all know that best. Like, the journalists know that best. So that's how we get our intel on what we are, as an expert and as a PR person, can speak to maybe like what would be best and what would not be best. Anyways, it takes a team is what I'm trying to say. So yeah, awesome. Oh, cool. This has been such a fun conversation so far. So I'm bringing it back to the pitch again, because I do have a lot more questions about that and Sawyer's work there. So let me just look at my notes real fast. Sawyer typically sits in on the interview with you all. And when it comes to experts, actually, one question that we have is, how do you qualify the people that you interview for your stories?
Ooh, that's good. One of the things, especially for these segments, these Watching Your Wallet segments, I do my research before I even... And one of the things that I do is I see, have they done a camera interview before? Not to say that they're not good and they can't be good, but that gives me sort of like a, okay, we can work with this, you know? Like, are they camera friendly? Are they passionate about this topic? Do they talk about this often? So I usually go on a scavenger hunt to find out a little bit more about this person. Personal interests. Do they seem bubbly? Do they seem like an easygoing person? Are they a little shy? And that doesn't mean we're not going to interview them. But the possibility of us finding someone that's like really relatable is even better. Especially when they're passionate about the topic, because it just, the sound bites just come. Like, it makes our job easier. I'm like, oh, I love that. I love that too. And one of the things that I love is people who also tell you like, oh, we might not be the right person for this, but I know someone who will. What about you reaching out to this person? And I think making those connections is important. I mean, we're not in competition. At least that's how I see it. Like, we're not competing. We're under the same umbrella doing the same thing with the purpose of informing people and educating people and just keeping them up to date. There's no need to compete. So if I know an expert like Sawyer, he linked Mozilla in his pitch. Mozilla is basically a competitor when you think about it. They're in the same industry. And he had no problem linking to the study that they did that was in debt. Kaspersky did one too, but a different angle. And so the fact that you're willing to showcase another agency that did some really good research on this topic and you're still pitching it to me, I respect that. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to the Mozilla people too, you know, like
that's great.
Because of that. So it's like, you never know. And I think when you build those relationships and you also mention other experts from people that you know, like if Jacqueline had an expert, Brit, that you knew of, that you're like, oh, that would be really good. And you mentioned to me, hey, have you thought about interviewing this person? Like, I know that PR is like still a competition. The same thing in journalism. There's still competitive things. But I still think that that's a good opportunity to like open up your network. You never know.
Yeah, Britt's done that for me before, actually. When Robert couldn't hop on, we've like literally seen if Leslie could hop on. And I don't know, that kind of working.
They play in similar worlds. Yeah.
They really do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a natural fit. I had a question and I'm totally blanking. Okay. Jackie, do you have any questions on that before, as I try to think about it?
Yeah. So it's kind of like a two-parter question. I noticed that, so really cool that you mentioned the report from like technically a competing organization, you could say. And I noticed that he shared the blog post with tips. I love this as a tactic. I think it's a really clear way of like giving information to a producer in a way that is easy to like just like have it summarized and make sense. So I'm just kind of curious, A, like, was that one of the factors? Did you use that in your reporting, the blog post itself? And then the second question on that is, what are other types of like things that a publicist could provide you with when working with you on a story like this?
Good question.
I love that. yes, I'm a huge fan of tips. Give me the tips. And the reason why I say that is that
give her the tips.
Yeah.
Video's fun.
It is. But seriously, sometimes I'll get pitches and I'm like, but where's the consumer advice? Like, this is a great study, but like, how
make it actionable?
How do I get people to either prevent this or educate them or know where they can go for resources or, you know? And I think having those tips and bullet points is helpful. At the very least, if they don't have an expert, which sometimes some PR people don't have an expert, you know, they're just sharing some sort of study. At least I can use some of those tips at the bottom and still write the piece, right? And still be able to credit them. So I think that's always a plus. I'm a huge fan of that. I'm also a fan of you telling me who the expert is that I'm going to be talking to.
Seems so simple, but yes.
You know, it is simple, but a lot of people don't do it. Wow. At least in my experience, they won't tell me. They're like, let us know if you have any more questions. And then I have to be like, hi, yes, you know, we're interested in this topic. Do you have a person that could possibly talk? And it's a lot of back and forth emails. And I just, if you tell me who the expert is, I can just be like, hey, I would love to do this topic with Leslie. She's been great. Can we do this topic? You know, and I think that's an opportunity for also for me to do some research about this person before I say yes. Because maybe they don't align. I've had pitches where I've done interviews and the person doesn't actually align with the topic that I thought we were going to talk about. It's not that they're bad, but they're not the best fit for the audience we're trying to hit. And so I had to go back and be like, I'm sorry. Like, this is not like the best. Is there other topics this person can do? Because obviously they're an expert and they know what they're talking about. Could they talk about this? And it was like, oh, yeah, they can talk about that. I was like, great, let's do it. So sometimes it's like, tell me who the expert is so I can already like, and even in that that's another opportunity for me to pitch another idea to you. Like, can they also talk about this other topic? Because I went on a research hunt to find some of the things, if they have a website, if they have blogs, if they use social media. Oh, my God, they just talked about debt relief. I would love to talk to them about that, too. Can we do that in that one interview? That means I'm getting to know the person, but also building sort of like this relationship of like, I can count on you for other topics rather than just the singular one. So I'm a huge fan of tell me who the expert is. If you know, sometimes Sawyer, for example, doesn't know, but is like, I will find you the right person and will tell me as soon as they find it. Like, here's a person they can do this time. Yes. Another tip. Please tell me, what time zone you're in. I don't know. I live in East Coast, but you could be Pacific. You could be Mountain Time. You could be Central. And that math sometimes is like a little confusing. I have to like open up. Confusing. Like, there's a site that I use that's like PS Pacific Time to Eastern Time. And it just tells me what it is because I have such a hard time like going back and like, and that gives me an idea. Okay, usually this person can do later in the afternoon because they're in Pacific time, which means it's afternoon for me, morning for them. Perfect. We can definitely do that. And it just makes us mindful, us as well, of your time. Like, I'm not trying to get you to do an interview at 6 in the morning because it's 9 a.m. for me, you know? So I'm trying to be mindful of that. So if you can tell me what time zone you're in, that's great.
I've made that mistake. I've made that mistake. I'm like thinking it was going to be Eastern and then it's Central. And it's always good
and
to
sometimes the person's traveling or not in the location they usually are. And I'm thinking, oh, they're here. And actually they're traveling or on vacation or doing something else. And it's like, oh, now we're going back and forth through email. I want to make life easier for you all. So I can just send that Zoom and it's like, okay, we're scheduled. We're good. Like, I don't have to worry about this anymore. That is super helpful.
Good tip. I'm all about saving you time. All about it. I have a question on that actually. So say I had never emailed you before. I have an expert. They're great on camera. Is it weird to send you interviews that they've done with other news stations, maybe even a competitor news station, to show you how they are on camera? Or are you okay with that?
I've actually never had anybody do that.
Okay.
I think some people would feel a little weird about you sending like a competitor's.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you're like, oh, this competitor did this.
Totally.
You know, sort of but I don't have a problem you showing me other opportunities they've had. So I think it's just a balance. Like, if there's one that's not competitor, but it's something else, like another segment, or even if you tell me they've been on USA Today, they've been on Right. You know, or they have their own YouTube channel, blog, and things like that. I think that's helpful.
Okay, cool.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You don't need to send the link to the competitor. You can just tell me they've been on these type of shows.
And
they were on USA Today. They were on the MSNBC. Like, that's cool. Oh, they have their own YouTube channel. That's cool, too. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Very cool. That is all fantastic. It's so weird being on video because it's like there's those moments where it's like we want to look at our notes, and I feel very weird going ahead and looking away from you right now to do that.
I got them split in half. So I'm curious what it's going to look like on video, if I'm going to be like looking like I'm looking off to the corner or something. So it'll be fun to see this later.
I have mine's down here. So if I'm looking down.
Who watches video, right?
We'll see. Maybe on social media it'll look, you know, hopefully people watch something, some part of this.
Hopefully. Either way, it's still just really cool to see everybody's faces.
Yeah. I think it makes it easier to talk, too, because I think sometimes it's hard, like, when you're on, like, without the video, like, accidentally talking over someone or not knowing if, like, I don't know, I can look at your faces and kind of guess whether or not. Mm-hmm. I can say something.
Right. Yeah.
So we've covered quite a bit of the questions that we had prepared for you. The one thing that we haven't covered yet is it's more of like revealing how hooked you are to your inbox as well, because we like to ask, when is the best time to email you? It's always a topic up for discussion and highly debated. So Daniela, when is the best time for us PRs to email you?
Early in the morning?
Okay.
I'm a morning riser.
All right. That's super early for me, but challenge accepted.
That's okay. Like, because I know what time zone you're in, not a problem. But if you are messaging me for the
Oh, no, I'm just joking with you. Yeah.
No, but it is. I mean, the time difference, I'm like, ooh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, totally.
But yeah, I'm an early riser, so I...
Okay.
To me, it's like, boom, boom, boom. I check every email, and I follow up. Like, you probably get pretty early emails from me responding back. Yeah, just an early riser here. Mm-hmm. That's when things work for me. Cool. But sometimes in the afternoon, if that's another option, you know, depending on time zones and all that, I'm checking my email every day at sort of all hours of the day. Mm-hmm. Controversial. I know I should not do that because I'm not on the clock, but I'm sorry. Like, I can't do it.
I'm the same way. I'll check at night. I don't know. I just want to see.
Sorry. Yeah, I just want to see, did I miss something? Like, and that's my biggest thing. Like, what if you're responding back to me and saying that someone can do a specific time and you just heard back? Now you're waiting another 2 days. When I go down my I just want to be able to respond to you in the moment. Even if this is sent by iPhone. I'm like, well, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's fine. I like that. I feel like it's relatable, you know?
Yeah, like we live our lives. So, you know, sometimes it's a send by iPhone.
Yeah.
Ooh, I have another tip for people.
Yes.
For sending pitches. Please use the same font. Like, I can tell when you copied and paste something.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And it makes me cringe. It makes
I know
me
what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. You don't care enough. And maybe that's not the case, but I'm like, you could at least get all the font the same. Like, oh, that's so cringy to me.
It's so cringy. I know exactly what you're talking about. That's what I've noticed. I've gotten an email and it'll be like, one paragraph is like a little bigger or a little smaller. And then like the name is different. Y'all gotta like, if you do that, there's a way to clear it. So it that's so, I agree. It's very cringy. Also, don't do that.
Some people might not like this, but I do like follow-up emails. Like, if you emailed me and we've had some sort of relationship or we've talked to before and I just missed your email, like, remind me, because sometimes I flagged it and I just haven't responded yet and I might have forgotten. And it's not that I don't want to respond to you. I do. So, yeah, I think, hey, just following up, or hey, I just wanted to remind you, or hey, listen, I know you're really busy. I just wanted to know, are you interested in this topic? Like, I'm okay with that, I think. But the font thing, oh man, that's cringy.
That's bad.
Or like, so, if you blow up my inbox and I know you're sending this to everyone, like, I've had people misspell my name. I've had people not know what I actually do and send me pitches that are like,
irrelevant.
You know how many pitches I get every day about inviting someone for a show? I'm not responsible for a show. Like, I can't bring you a guest. So I'm like, oh, that's not for me. Or like, hey, do you want this book from this author? I love reading.
I do. Books.
I'm a huge fan of books, but that's not what I do. Like, I can't give a review for your book. I can't give you PR. Like, that's
right.
I don't do that.
Not
like,
your
that's
job.
Not that's not my job and not what I do. And so, like, just making sure that you're sending pitches to, like, do your homework on the person that you're trying to send a pitch to, because it's cringy when I get something and I'm like, you sent this to 5 other people. I know, because Rachel just got it. Oh, that's so cringy. Like, when Rachel and I get the email at the same time, I'm like,
oh, yeah, you're like one line away from each other in the spreadsheet. Yeah.
I'm like,
don't
do that.
Change it up.
You know, just a hi, hello, good afternoon or something.
Something different. Yeah.
Yes. I'm very glad you brought that up. It's a common reoccurring theme, but worth reiterating and repeating relevance and, you know, not even personalizing, but making sure you're finding and contacting the right journalist is key. It's going to go a long way and it's going to save you a lot of time.
And also it's helpful for us to also know, like, oh, Brie has an expert on this. Jacqueline has an expert on this. I know exactly who I need to reach out to if I'm working on a bigger story, if I need an expert for a specific topic, or if I'm pitching you an idea. Like, hey, Jacqueline, can they do this topic? Probably, because I know what type of expert you have. It might be a no, but, I mean, I have an idea, so I want to make your life easier by knowing, like, exactly sort of who's your profile, who are your clients.
I actually have a question for you. We're off script now, but I think it'll be helpful for listeners. Sometimes I've worked with, like, Telemundo producers in the past, but oftentimes they're really looking for Spanish-speaking experts, and I've noticed a huge gap in the market. Do you have Spanish-speaking experts that you work with, or are you constantly also finding that it's challenging to find representation in the personal finance space?
I love that you ask that, because it's so important and not a conversation we're having enough. One of the things that is my biggest challenge, if I'm being honest. I do, thankfully, I have like 3 people that NerdWallet, Melissa Lamberena, she is awesome. She is like the bilingual. She does stuff with us in English as well, but she's bilingual, so she's able to like do those with me. Ligia Chan with the BBB. She's also bilingual and able to do those things. And then I've done the CFPB, Hector Ortiz, and I think he's just Spanish speaking.
Okay. But thank you for letting me know. Yeah. That's I might ask you for that. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I might ask you later, because I want, as publicists, we talk about this. Like, we want to connect people with the right folks. And I get requests like this, I would say, at least once a month. And so it would be nice to be able to pass along that information.
I would be happy to pass along that information.
But
there's
anyway,
some incredible people out there that do some good work, but there is a gap, and it's really hard. And sometimes I'm doing topics with no expert, and I know there's an expert that knows it, but I don't have anyone on camera. I don't have a voice, and it's not as good as I would want it to be. So we're working around that. We're trying to find loopholes. You know, I know publications are trying to like improve this, especially in finance, because that's a big area where Spanish-speaking audience are looking for information. So it's tough. But I appreciate those that are actually trying to do something about it and actually be experts in the field. So yes, I will send you those.
That would be awesome. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, it's a huge gap in the market, especially with personal finance. I think that is going to be a very... So if you're out there and you speak Spanish, maybe work on your spokesperson skills. We need people like you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I love that question. So glad we were able to go into that area too. Good one, Jackie.
Yeah, I like your segments. They're very good. I'm glad that you do like this.
Me too.
the Spanish stuff. It's important.
Thank you. You're going to make really me cry. Important work. Thank you so much.
No, it's true.
I really, really do appreciate that. Honestly, I started the segment for really to, one, to help other Spanish-speaking audiences, but I just know from living it, my parents really do appreciate the segments that I do because it's a topic that they're learning from. Like, I just had a conversation with my mom yesterday, and she was like, you don't understand. You've been teaching us so many things we've never learned. And it's because you're making it easy for people to understand. And sometimes that's hard for me, but I really do appreciate the compliment. It means a lot. And I just hope that I can continue to grow the brand and continue to find experts and continue to give out those tips and help people. And of course, if there are topics that you guys think that are important, like, please let me know. I'm always looking for improving the segment and just hitting on topics that seem relevant. So if there's anything that you both can think of, I'm all ears.
Yeah, I'll definitely pitch you. And I'm even starting to think about people I know around that might even be experts that are almost like hidden in plain sight, right? Like they're mm-hmm. bilingual and maybe they don't, they're not branding themselves as such, but I'm like, oh, but you know, you write about personal finance. You could talk about it. Like, you know,
totally.
Right. Yeah. And I'm also willing, I'm also willing to send questions like,
That is so, I'm so glad you brought that up. Yes.
Yeah. That's a good Spanish one. For Spanish speakers, okay. I always provide questions. Some of them don't need them at all, but just,
helpful, right?
As a bilingual person, I'm not mm-hmm. always tapping into my Spanish. So some being able to prepare for that mm-hmm. so I don't sound silly on camera is a big thing. So I never mind sending questions in that sense because I want you to have an idea of what I'm looking for, especially if it's your first time doing a Spanish segment with me. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that we're both on the same page and that you get the time to prepare for it. So
that's great.
Yeah, cool. That is fantastic. I will be hitting you up later because I have a fantastic tax accountant who is bilingual and he has a lot of on-camera experience, but I think he's really charismatic and awesome to talk to. So yeah, cool. Anyways,
I'm so excited.
Didn't even think about that. So cool. Tax season, very important. And I am pitching him left and right on that topic. So yeah. The other question that I had actually was about this is going back to the pitch again. Sorry, I keep going back to this pitch because there was one more question. And while we were talking about all of that, I was looking at it and I'm always so fascinated by length of pitches. I do feel like this one that Sawyer sent is on the longer side. But I'm not against it personally. I'm here for the longer pitches, especially if you already have that working relationship with somebody. It's less emails that need to go back and forth, right? Tell me more about that, though, from your perspective, Daniela. How do you feel about length of emails?
I like long pitches. I'm all in for long pitches. I want to know a little bit more about the person, their background. I want to know about what more can we develop in our topic. So if you're giving me like little snippets, I'm like, I want to talk about that. You mentioned something interesting. That's great. Let's discuss that. So I'm a huge fan of long pitches. I read them from beginning to end. I think they really help with how I believe the interview will turn out and the topics that we talk about. One line pitches are not enough. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Oh, they can talk about these resources or tips on finances. What does that mean? Like, what type of tips? You know, is it personal banking? Is it credit debt relief? What is it? So when there's length, I like that. I don't mind reading it. Send your lengthy ones over here. I don't mind.
That's
fantastic.
Great.
All right. Any other questions on the pitch from your side, Jackie?
No, I love this pitch. I just want to say I like it.
I do
because
too.
It covers all the things you need to cover. If it was like a totally cold email, I'd say the only thing that would be missing is who the expert is and maybe their bio and some links to like social media or whatever, just to prove that they're a real person. But other than that, I mean, since you already know Sawyer very well, sounds like you worked with him for a couple of years, I'd say this is a pretty solid pitch. So yes. Thanks for sharing. Thank you, Sawyer, for allowing us to publish as well. This is really cool.
Yeah, Listeners, just a little snippet. He actually emailed me again. I have it here. On the 11th of this month. Yes, I print out all my pitches. That's what? Just me.
Yeah, no way.
Cool. Print them out. Yeah.
Oh, that's so fascinating. Yeah.
So this is how he starts the email. Hi, Daniela. Hope you're doing well. Not sure if you have your story on this already full in the can or not, but wanted to share a very relevant survey report we're putting out today about how drivers feel about their cars tracking their data. Hope it's useful.
Oh,
yes, it is useful.
Very useful.
Now, data that we can use in our reporting about how consumers feel.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Quick question on that, getting in the weeds here. How many survey respondents do you, well, what's your parameter there? Like, how many do you require or are you interested in that having?
That's a good question. Let me see how many this has.
I'm always wondering, and I know it depends on the niche. Like, this is a pretty broad topic, so I feel like you don't need, like, a ton of survey responses for it to be accurate, but...
I think it has to be at least more than 1,000.
Right.
Like, you cannot do, like, 500. That tells me absolutely nothing. I think his survey has way more than 1,000. I can't see it from the pitch.
Okay. No, that's... Whatever your opinion is what
I
care about right now.
Yeah,
so.
I also care about that because sometimes journalists, and this is on us, sometimes journalists will take a survey and just put it out there and have not checked, is the math correct? Is a good enough survey pool? Does it hit all the areas? Is it actually international and has, and they're pulling data from elsewhere? I think all those things are important. And so... we need to do our own job to make sure that those surveys that we're reporting on are real, that the math makes sense. And it's just not like, where did they get this crazy 72% percentage?
Right.
Like, that's a lot. But like, you know, did they have enough of a survey pool to be able to do that? So I also count, like, maybe that's just me. Maybe that's something I need to work on. But I do trust my sources. Like, if I have a relationship with you, Britt, and we're talking to one of your clients, I trust that whatever data they're giving me is honest and true. Until I see something that I'm like, oh, that's really questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Most cases, that's not the case. But that's because I trust you and I trust the work that your client is doing. Same thing with you, Jacqueline. Like, anything that your client is telling me, I trust because I believe they're an expert in this field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also their reputation on the line.
Yeah.
They're not going to be putting out some crazy survey that has all the wrong numbers and people quoting them, but it has happened before.
Mm-hmm.
So I just trust the people that I build relationships with will not steer me the wrong way.
Right.
So,
yeah. Important reminder not to take advantage of those relationships either for PRs because, but anywho, thank you for answering that. And thank you for sharing that pitch from Sawyer, little follow-up gem of a pitch.
He's such an awesome laid-back person. I just want to give him a huge shout out. We've been building this relationship. I love his experts. He is just incredible, and he lets me know in advance of when things are coming out, when things are like brand spanking new. I love that. I love being able to have an idea of when things are coming up and preparing for them.
Fantastic.
And just usually we do just watching your wallet segment. This just happened to be like a really big pitch that is basically our investigation for in a couple months. So it's just so cool to be able to see like just how those relationships can build to bigger things.
Yeah. I can't wait to watch this segment. I'm going to learn so much.
I'd
be so creeped out.
But you're gonna be really freaked out because I'm freaked out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that was a really nice segue too to the shout out section. Obviously, Sawyer gets like 5 million gold stars for being a fantastic collaborator and a gem of a model of a PR person. Are there any other shout outs that you want to share?
Well, there are two ladies that I happen to know that are on my screen right now, and I just want to give a big shout out to them.
Oh my gosh. I'm blushing officially.
No, but seriously, you both are incredible. I mean, also, let me make sure I say her last name correctly, because I just call her Julie, but she's from Bankrate.
Okay.
Gossie. She is incredible. So this is what I mean, another incredible relationship. She, last year, before the year ended, she was like, hey, Daniela, I want to meet with you. I want to have, like, a Zoom with you just to chat. How can I help you improve? Like, what can I get you? Experts. We had an hour-long conversation on Zoom about amazing. What experts she has, what experts I have, how we can work together, how often we work in advance, which is another thing. Our team works, like, 3 months in advance. So sometimes if you're pitching something to us that's like right now, that doesn't usually work unless it's like evergreen. And that's sometimes like something we have to explain to some of the PR people we're talking to. And sometimes it's like we might take a while before you actually see something. It's not personal. It's just like we're booked. So it might take a little while. So she had a conversation with me and it was great. And now she sends me like, hey, here's the surveys, topics, ideas that are coming in the next weeks. And I'm like, brilliant. Okay, so I want to book that when that comes out. I want to book that when that comes out. That's helpful, you know, mm-hmm. And that's because yeah. She just wanted to do it and make sure that I know the information. So I just appreciate people who like are passionate about their job. Like you can tell who cares about their job and who's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I just have to do this. Like I need to make sure I have some clients. You know, people that care and people who care about the topic as well.
Yes.
Well said.
Ooh, I have so many notes and like ideas from this call. Daniela, thank you for being so gracious with your time, for preparing all of this information for our listeners. You get a fantastic gold star from me, more than one, just like 10 million. Thank you so much. I can't say that enough. before we end this discussion, is there anything else that we didn't mention that you wanted us to, or... I think that's it. I think we can end it there. But where can our listeners find you online, I guess, is a really good question, too, because we want to make sure they're following along with your important work that you do as well.
Sure. So if you want to go to investigatetv.com, you can find all the latest investigations we work on. You can also go to the tab called En Español, which is all the Spanish segments you can see that are being published there, as well as any translations to our investigations that will also be there. And just a huge shout out to this podcast. If you haven't subscribed, make sure you do so and follow these ladies in their journey. I think this is a lovely podcast and one that's really important. And so I appreciate you both for making this happen.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of We Earn Media. If you head over to weearnmedia.com, you'll find a summary of the episode along with links to any of the resources and more information about our lovely guest and where you can find them online. If you have any topic suggestions or just general PR questions for us or future guests, email us at podcast@weearnmedia.com. Of course, you can also find us on social media. Our handle is @weearnmedia and we're on Twitter and Instagram.